Leo, and welcome to Trust Yourself, your 2024 mid-year reading from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis, your friendly neighborhood astrologer, here with a fresh look at your astrology. Shorn of all that eclipse stuff that completely dominated the annual reading and the spring reading, going into new territory, something of a preview of the themes of 2025, which are resonant with what we've been doing, but there's just a lot that's happening. There are a lot of seeming surprises coming. I want to thank you for your patience with this reading as well. I have been in the very week that I plan to get going at full strength, was a kind of a national tragedy, and so I've been deeply involved in that. It's a bit of first responder territory for me, and so I've been taking the readings much slower, going at the pace of one a day. Today's the first day that I'm doing two at once, though, so that is a sign that I'm building my confidence, which I usually find is best done slowly, gradually, incrementally, but steadily. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that very topic. To trust oneself is to have confidence in oneself. And to have confidence in oneself is exactly the same idea as fidelity to oneself. this distinction is lost. The F-I-D in confidence and the F-I-D in fidelity are the same thing. Confidence seems to be a thing that we have, but fidelity is a thing that we do. And is my notion here that to have the thing, we need to do the thing. To be fidelitous with ourselves builds confidence, builds trust. And sadly, we live in a world, particularly now, where we're being taught, well, we've always been taught to lie to ourselves as an adaptation for others to have a little bit easier life. That's the bottom line. Is children are taught to lie to themselves to appease their parents, and people generally are taught to lie to themselves, usually to appease society in some way, which includes partners. And then there's no mystery that people lack confidence in themselves because they're not expressing their fidelity toward themselves. I think that there's something, though, about oneself that everyone has some special trust in, whether it's your ability to arrive on time or whether you know that you can do a good job under duress, that you can keep your head in a crisis. There's a wide diversity of possibilities there. And I would suggest that you take a little inventory of the things that about you that you can rely upon. I think one is very likely to be your ability to hold things together, generally, not just in a crisis, but to hold things together generally in life as time goes on, to be the person who is willing to do the work to make sure that everything else works. This is a somewhat rare trait. People like to take advantage of this. They like to let others be the one who's going to do the work of holding things together. That can often leave you with a lot of extra work to do. And if that's not the thing about yourself, find the thing that it is. I mean, my perception of Leo based on astrology is that Leo, the concept, not necessarily the individual, but there is a relationship, is capable of tremendous work and dedication. And the ability to, though Leo is often said to be attention-seeking and wants to be the star of the show and be at the center of things, actually, I think it's much more true that you are willing to not be the star of the show, that you are willing to take a behind-the-scenes role and take tremendous satisfaction in making sure that things go well. Without ever needing to be congratulated, though it is nice when someone says so. But make your list. Make your list of the things about yourself that you can depend upon. There's a pattern forming in your astrology, and it's been forming for a while, that says to me that one place of potential strength is the ability to keep your agreements. In fact, you may be so capable of keeping your agreements that this can work against you. And in the journey of keeping one's agreements, it can help to know that you really do have two viable options with an agreement. One is to keep the agreement, and one is to negotiate your way out of the agreement. But with this new point, and by new, I mean, and I'm sorry, my voice is a little bit scratchy right now. I just had a bit of a sneezing fit. I do not know what got into the environment, and it's frozen up my larynx a bit. Is Varuna, and Varuna is a factor. I think Varuna was discovered in 2000. It's got minor planet number 20,000. Varuna, which is a special number. They save the round numbers for the big discoveries. Another one is Quaoar, 50,000. I forgot to put that into your chart. That's up in here. Anyway, Varuna is about contracts. It has a few other delineations. One of the other delineations is having less responsibility than you had in the past, and maybe wondering why that is. But the thing about Varuna that really stands up and stands out is the ability to honor agreements. And if that is something that you know you have, then I would suggest working with that, being happy about that, resting on your laurels just a little bit, knowing that you keep your promises. This will come in handy, and you need sources of internal sources of confidence, not delivered to you from the outside. The only ones that really count are the ones that are delivered from the inside to yourself. Or maybe we could say in a ratio of like 1 to 10, that the one can come from the outside, and then 10 need to come from the inside. The external affirmations, to my mind, seem to be just confirming of what you already know, or maybe they give you a little thing to carry you when you're, not feeling so good about yourself. But internal, the kind of internal combustion of honoring your reality is really where it's at. Now, that said, from an exterior perspective, the global environment, the environment of society, your social environment, and your one-to-one partnerships of any kind are in the process of going through a rather tremendous set of changes. This has been creeping up on society for a long time, and it's been concentrating in your life for probably a year and a half, if you go back and notice. And with these outer planet transits, sometimes you've got to do a little bit of forensics work to see when was the first sign I got that I was going to be living in a different world. And that different world is described by Pluto entering your seventh place, Aquarius. Big transit. 20 years. Pluto is moving slower than it has in nearly all of our lives. Pluto's got a wildly elliptical orbit, and planets gain influence because when they move more slowly. And so Pluto has been moving quickly since maybe the 50s and has been actually moving faster and faster, and then finally starts to slow down maybe in the 1980s. By slow down, I mean it gets further and further away from the sun, takes longer to go through a sign, and now it's entering Aquarius, moving slower than any of us remember. Even if you don't do astrology, you have body memory of these things. And this represents a complete rearrangement of the energy, the nature, the tone of all of these different environments, society at large, your immediate circle of friends, and your one-on-one relationships. There's a few things going on. One of them is a kind of a disruptive rearrangement of the patterns of all of these relationships. Another one is an intensification of all of these relationships. Another is a challenge to you to stand up to what people put toward you. And there, by the way, having confidence in your ability to keep agreements and hold things together might not get you so far when it comes time to stand up to yourself in a way that is gentle and influential and that is real for who you are. But there's no doubt in my mind that seventh house transit of Pluto represents both your need to take every chance you can to assert your individual will against the will of some collective. Now, we live through this in the 2020 era, where all of us were put to this kind of a test. And it wasn't even Pluto going through Aquarius, it was Saturn going through Aquarius. And I would recommend going back and asking yourself, now knowing what you know about what was really going on in 2020, how you did in terms of whether you asserted your perception, your understanding, your reality against that of all the people who had their concept of what you should think, you should do, you should believe. And grade yourself. Maybe you did great. You know, maybe you refused to go anywhere that required you to cover your face and breathe in your own exhaled waste product. Maybe you completely knuckled under the pressure and wanted to, be responsible or be seen as being responsible. That's up to you to figure out what it was. But the conditions of 2020 are coming back the energetic conditions, I don't mean the exact scenario, it'll be different scenarios. The energetic conditions of 2020 are coming back in a much more intensified way, much more concentrated, with the group mind, the hive mind, being given much more, let's say, persuasive authority than it had in 2020. As that seems like a stretch, but I can tell you that Pluto is more concentrated and more compelling than Saturn. Saturn is like Pluto light. And so you will largely get two choices. One choice is to just give in quickly. That is not going to work. Didn't work then. It's not going to work now. It doesn't get the kind of result that gives you the ability to be responsible to yourself. The other possibility is being responsible to yourself, where you remain in contact with your understanding of what is so, and that might include, you know, listening, paying attention, taking in sensory data, taking in scientific data with Aquarius in your environmental house, very important. But know where your weaknesses were. Map out your weaknesses as you live through the 2020-21 crisis. Note what you are glad you did and what you regret that you did. What in the outcome of that did you swear to yourself you would never do again? You're just not interested. That's not the way you want your life to be. Well, this is your chance to do something very important for personal fidelity, which is to learn how to keep your promises to yourself. Perhaps the most important thing in life is learning how to keep your promises to yourself. Okay, let's take a little break, and I'm going to have a cup of tea and see if I can maybe do some vocal exercises and recover from a lot of sneezing, and I will leave you with the sounds of Exit 20 commingled with some synthesizer. Suggest that you consider the world of Pluto to Aquarius to be like reincarnating on a different planet. I realize it's just a transit, you know, just, you know, Pluto doing what it always does, which is moving through the zodiac, making contact with other planets, changing signs every now and then, even though this is unusual. It's going to be going real slow through Aquarius, but because Aquarius represents this much wider environment for you than it does for most people, it might be profitable to contemplate your life as a kind of a whole new incarnation in a whole different world. And if you did, or even as a thought experiment, if you did incarnate, if you like woke up one morning on a different planet, how would you feel? Maybe things look the same, maybe they didn't look the same, but you know that everything is different. Would you plunge forth into the world with great bravado? Or would you test things out with probes and little queries and investigate people slowly and get a feeling for where they are at. If you don't do this, you may find that you get shocking indications that you are on another planet. If you do, you may get less shocking, more interesting results of your experiments, hinting that you are somewhere other than, you know, where you've been all of your life. Because the environment will respond differently to your energy and to your influence. And at times it may come back with enormous energy, you know, in like concentrated force. But if you even suspect that force exists, I think it would be very wholesome to probe people one at a time, to probe groups, to consciously learn to do what is called take the temperature of the room, and view your movement through this newly formed plasma of existence as a conscious experiment where you can take nothing for granted. Now, one of the most challenging things will be trusting your emotions. Trusting your emotions. This is particularly difficult right now for you. And it's about the two points that are connected by the green line that's almost vertical on the right-hand side of the chart. That connects your feeling body, which is the body where you would feel safe, unsafe, confident, incompetent, unconfident, with a kind of an opening in your chart where the influences of others come in, and sometimes they come in invisibly. And given the combination of factors, we can say, well, they almost always come in invisibly, and you are easily brought under the thrall of the emotional reactions of others. This is something to watch carefully, because you need to have your own responses to things. And most people are, in fact, reacting a bit gag reflex-ish when things happen, and aren't really slowing down to answer questions, and don't really know how they feel. And so it will help if you are in a constant state of inquiry into what is the influence that this thing, whatever it might be, this person, this situation, this relationship, this financial transaction, this event, is having on me, and are my feelings mine, or are they someone else's? How do you figure this out? Especially when the issue of the blurring of the boundaries comes up. And that is a good question that I would encourage you to like write on a little card and put it in your pocket. One of the ways that you can work with this question is to embrace the what I think of as the central religion of Leo. Every sign, every rising sign, you know, every different solar chart has a different concept of what a spiritual or religious practice would be. And in the case of Leo, it is, I think, rather fascinating that the concept of religion, which can also mean the concept of higher self, the concept of God, is about knowing yourself. And so one way to set your sensitivity is, in any situation, to ask, am I getting to know myself here, or is somebody trying to tell me who I am here? Can I even ask the question about who I am in this environment? Is there room to ask the question about who I am in this environment? Or am I completely kind of boxed into one of those Star Trek-like force field, you know, cages where it looks like you can see through it. It doesn't look like anything's there, but then you walk into it and you bounce off of it. And so if you set your priorities on understanding yourself and being true to yourself, and you get some practice in a new stage of life, remembering that you're living on a different planet now, you will have a measure for whether you are, in a sense, safe. You will have a measure for understanding whether someone is trying to dictate not just your choices, but your idea and experience of who you are. The activity in this house is going to be unbelievable for about the next 10 months, even longer. It really extends out one horoscope to rule them all. March 19, 2026 is really the big show, the big fireworks show. And I've published that chart early so we can all be kind of acclimating into it and vibrating into it. But this is happening now. And one of the, there's a lot of ways to look at this. I mean, right now there's four planets hovering around this ninth house: Eris, Chiron, Borsisi, and Salacia. And with all of those points, there's a different way of asking, am I being true to myself here? Now, remember that the question, am I being true to myself, is a dangerous question. It is considered a very bad thing by many people, because there's a lot of entities in the universe that thrive on you not being true to yourself. And your freedom is ultimately based on self-knowledge. It is not a platitude to say that. And self-knowledge is considered dangerous in a world where almost everyone has taken up the task of conditioning themselves to be dishonest with themselves. This is a fundamental fact of the planet that we live on, that the worst level of dishonesty is people conditioning themselves by various forms of persuasion or example or punishment or whatever it might be, or a lot of bribery, to not be true to yourself. So that's the pulse to keep your fingers on. And there are a number of manifestations of this. One of them is, what is your method of healing? What is your definition of your own healing process? By which I largely mean a spiritual healing process, a psychological healing process, a growth process, with growth meaning in the direction of healing past hurts. Another is, what's mediating your choice of what you believe or don't believe? There's likely to be a lot of propaganda coming at you. and a lot of carrot and stick to enforce that propaganda. And finally, there is the question of, I never know if I'm coming across correct, you know, like not correctly, but accurately to my concept here. Maybe you can tell me. My delineation of the point Salacia, who is, I think, a 250-year orbit. It's kind of close to, it's kind of near Pluto's realm. And Salacia was the consort to Neptune. What was she? She was like a sea nymph, a sea sprite of some kind. And the question with Salacia, particularly as a spiritual principle or a self-actualization principle, to me, is about, do you honor your level of your particular approach to sexual appropriateness? Now, this can go one of three ways. One is, yep, you do exactly what you think is appropriate. This has got nothing to do with morals or anybody's concept of what you are, what you're supposed to be. Another one is you're hemmed in. You want to express yourself more. You have more to say. You have more to do. You have more to feel. You have more experiments you want to conduct. And you know that this is not quite just about having fun, but rather it's about growing, becoming, exploring, making the most of existence, why you're here. That's the ninth, by the way. The ninth has, I'm going to write that in right there. So I'm reminded again when I pick this chart up in 3 months. Why you're here. And the other is that you're somehow in an environment where you must exceed what you think is right for you. Let's go beyond that. So my question is, where do you stand on that? Are you doing the right thing for yourself? Are you being adventurous enough? Are you being too adventurous for the sake of someone else? Are you completely hemmed in where you feel like you can't do anything at all? And I would encourage you to consider the possibility that sexual expression is not just another porn site that you might sign up for or not sign up for, click on. Sexual expression is absolutely fundamental to creativity and curiosity in any form. Allowing your mind to be sexually free and allowing your body to do the things that you think are appropriate for you or push the envelope in ways you think are appropriate for you is about your ability to think, to feel, to inquire of the world, to stand up for yourself, to be the person who you actually are. Let me say this another way. To extinguish someone's sexual curiosity, which is what leads the way, I think, is to shut them down. In terms of all those things I just mentioned, I'll read to you how Wilhelm Reich put it. Someone I consider to be an important philosopher. He comes in and out of vogue. And I think that screenshots. Okay. He comes in and out of vogue, and I think that would be helpful if we gave a little more thought to what he's saying. But I'll read the full quote, and I believe it's from The Mass Psychology of Fascism. Reich, by the way, was considered the brightest student of Freud, like the kind of Dharma heir of Freud. But he moved on from Freud when Freud took the position of the Nazis, and gave up on his own idea, that sexuality is the most important force, eros is the most important force in the psyche, and picks up this kind of weird idea that the drive to die, thanatos, is healthy, just as important. He didn't mean transform. He meant a kind of a self-destructive urge. And Reich is saying, No, bro, you can't say that. You can't just say, well, create the creative impulse, the desire to express and to feel and express beauty and to love and to share and to connect with people is just as wholesome as, you know, the idea to the desire to end it all. And so he went his own way and kind of left Freud in the dust. And he wrote, suppression of the natural sexuality in the child. In the child, he's concerned about the natural sexuality of children. Very controversial to even say anything about this. But we forget that we were all children and all had this done to us, pretty much. Suppression of the natural sexuality in the child makes the child apprehensive, shy, obedient, afraid of authority, quote, good, quote, adjusted in the authoritarian sense. It paralyzes the rebellious forces because any rebellion is laden with anxiety. It produces, by inhibiting sexual curiosity and sexual thinking in the child, a general inhibition of thinking and of critical faculties, and I would add, of life. He continues, in brief, the goal of sexual suppression is that of producing an individual who is adjusted to the authoritarian order and who will submit to it in spite of all misery and degradation. I think there are very few psychological or spiritual equations that describe the human condition of our time better than this. I'd like to cover two more points related to what we've been talking about. And the first one considers traps that would potentially lead you to lose confidence that you have, to not fully claim the confidence that you have. You need to check the position of the asteroid Achilles, which I have long associated with this one theme. I call it the false lack of confidence. And this is especially around your work, your dharma, your commitment to participating in a meaningful way. And it seems to me like there's a lot of ancestral material, well, you might say ancestors, packed into that little room who seem to be making you question whether what you do is meaningful. And who may be leading you to question whether what you do is even helpful. You have to ask and answer those questions yourself, but it's difficult to ask and answer those questions if you are under the thrall of anyone attempting to persuade you. And there would appear to be a lot of healing work to be done here that could help out. And the beauty of doing healing work around your family, and I think that, you know, in the course of a lifetime, we all need to go through several stages of this, is that a little bit can bring you quite a bit of confidence fairly early in the process, especially if you know that you're going to stick with it. But there's a lot of ideas about what the right thing to do is and what the right kind of profession is and what you are not and are supposed to do and who's got some attachment to, the outcomes of your career, even though they have no actual stake in it, no real investment in who you are and what you've chosen to do. And sometimes the hardest decisions people make are the ones that involve basically telling the people who have invested in them, I can't do this. I can't pay back your $1 million. I can't pay back chiropractic school, but I don't want to be a chiropractor. I'm going to be a juggler. So what's that? What's that going on? Who are these people who are trying to influence the work that you do, the commitment you have to society in the most practical, the most down-to-earth and grounded way? Who are they? Name them one at a time. Consider the things that people said to you about your choice of occupation. And inventory the ones that have taken something from you. And I would suggest that while you're there, you look for the ways in which those injuries to your confidence in yourself actually helped you build up more confidence in yourself. Sometimes it helps to have somebody pushing you down so you've got something to push back up against. It's often better than somebody not caring at all. But you don't want these people setting the limits on your mastery of what you do and what is the right thing. And you may decide, and you can decide, that you've been completely misled about what was right for you. And it's like, well, it's time to find another house to live in, find another house to do my work in. The chances are, if you do, that the work that you would choose would be something much more expressive, it would be bolder, it would be more visible, it would be out in the open, and it would be stranger, more unusual, different than you were told. This business of how does Reich say it? Remembering that he's making the case that to suppress the sexuality of a child is not a moral issue. They're not doing it because it's wrong. The adults are not suppressing the children because it's wrong for them to have sexual feelings. The adults are suppressing the children for their own convenience. And so if you find that what you are doing now is the result of having been suppressed for the convenience of others, you are allowed to choose again. And you will feel good for making these recognitions. You will feel good for standing up for yourself in your own choices, because your life is yours to live. You're not living somebody else's life. They have no stake. They don't take any risks. They get none of the rewards. The chances are nobody much cares. But you think they do, because all of those ghosts have somehow been, introjected, taken on board. Now, there's one more thing going on. And the first thing it involves is your contracts and agreements. We began with that. We began with Varuna in the first house. And if one of the things that you like about yourself, that you have confidence in, that you trust yourself for, is your ability to keep commitments, it is very important to understand that if those commitments are not working for you, they are probably not working for other people, but that doesn't really matter so much. If they're not working for you, they're not working for you, and your other option is to get out of the commitment. And I don't mean disappear or tell people to fuck off. I mean to say, I can't do this. But I'm no longer interested, thanks for the $1 million. I'm going to go to Bali and learn how to spin fire. But there's to keep your confidence in your ability to keep your contracts, you must not betray the need to get out of them in a way that is straightforward, that is honest, and where you personally take responsibility for the consequences of that, so that you can trust yourself in the future. So that now, every time you make a commitment, you don't have your fingers crossed. And it is likely that it is not commonplace that you need to get out of something. One question I have is, to what extent is the social pressure, for example, one scenario this would fit in is, hypothetically, a person's married, it's been a while, they're not really living the life they like, they're not sure they want to be married, but there is social pressure to stay married. What are your friends going to think? In terms of any commitment that you have, any agreement that you have, my question is, what is the extent of the social pressure keeping you in that commitment, an external social pressure? And what is the tension between your internal kind of air pressure and the external air pressure pushing you back? This is an important thing to mull over with Jupiter square Saturn well into 2025. It's now like summer. This is going to go into, I would say, June, July of 2025. This is a year process. In many ways, social pressure could be dictating your choices. And that's a thing you want to factor for and factor out, so that you are practicing being true to yourself, keeping your promises to yourself. In my view of your charts and of Leo generally, but particularly with the types of transits, they all come back to the same thing, which is that you will be a happier person, a more content and fulfilled person, feeling like you are living your mission on Earth as you get better and better at remembering and keeping the promises that you have made to you, that, I would remind you, no one else is going to keep for you. No one else is likely to be happy if you keep that promise. This is between you and you. And that is a beautiful thing. And how you work it out with others when keeping your promise to yourself means violating a promise to them is a real matter of integrity. And you want to be in the greatest, highest integrity that you can be, so that you are not undermining your ability in the future to make agreements. And by the way, it helps if they're in clear language. Most people are afraid of written contracts. They will serve you very well. Even a one-page agreement with a signature on it, or two signatures on it, will serve you very well. Clear, meaning the words are unequivocal. You know exactly what you mean. It is clear to anybody else who signs it what you mean, and you know what they mean, and that is that. All right, Leo, cousin, I will see you over in another sign or at another time. We are heading for your birthday season right now. This is not the chart for your birthday season. I will have that. That will be in the astrology studio reading for Leo. That is probably going to come a little later than I've been getting it the first couple of days of the sign now, but I'm thinking, you know, we may be talking late next week or something. I'm by the way, recording on the 17th of July and signing off from Kingston, New York at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. Thank you again for your business and your trust. And, you know, there's a reason why I put that at the end of every email, including the emails that other people send out, which is I think that trust is love. I think that trust is, on this planet, at this time, it's all about trust. And I am grateful to and for anyone who trusts me. And I would advise that and suggest that you be deeply grateful for when you act in a way that is trustworthy to yourself. All right. I'll catch you a little bit further on down the road. And bye for now.